Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. There's a comment here that I think is substantial. Now, you might place a marker here because we're going to look at the surrounding verses in just a few moments. But breaking into the middle of the thought in verse number 10, he says, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now that phrase, the manifold wisdom of God. Manifold is not necessarily a word we use very often. Unless you're at the mechanics, you're probably not going to hear the word manifold. But the word simply means something that is multifaceted. You can look at it at various angles and you're always going to see something new. And he applies that adjective to the word wisdom. He says that there is something about God and his wisdom that is multifaceted, that you can keep looking at it and see new things every time. But something in the direct context is he's saying, now through the church, we can see everything God was trying to accomplish. And as we see post-Christ, the wisdom of God, it helps us to understand that God is far beyond any of us. We never would have imagined the plan that God had put in place. In fact, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, and also in chapter 16 and verse 27, it says, God alone is wise, and his wisdom is far beyond us. We never would have imagined the wisdom that God had planned. In fact, it's kind of like the love that he describes in chapter 3 and verse 19, that he wants them to know the unknowable love of Christ. He's saying there is a sense in which we can understand what is not understandable. And here he says that there is the manifold wisdom of God. There is something about God's wisdom that can now be made known that previously was unknown. Now, what we're going to be talking about is not necessarily the wisdom that God has hidden or continued to hide. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that there are secret things that belong to God, but the things that are revealed are for us, or they belong to us, to our children, that we may observe all this law. And so there are things that are beyond us that we're never going to understand because God has simply not revealed them. That's not the wisdom that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. The wisdom he's talking about is the wisdom that has now been revealed. And so what I want us to think about is that full and final revelation of the wisdom of God. What can we know about God's wisdom, God's plan for us today? Well, what we're going to have to understand is if we want to know the wisdom of God, we're going to have to know how God has revealed that wisdom. And this text gives us three ways in which God has revealed his wisdom. And if it is multifaceted, when we look at it through this lens, we're going to see a part of God's wisdom. Then when we look through another lens, we'll see another aspect of God's wisdom, and so on and so forth. So here are the three ways in which God reveals his wisdom, and each teaches us something about God's plan. Number one, God reveals his wisdom through Jesus Christ. God reveals his wisdom through Jesus Christ. Look back in verse number 11, please. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse number 10, he talked about the manifold wisdom of God made known through the church. He says, this was in accordance with the eternal purpose of God, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so there is some semblance, there is some connection between the wisdom of God and the plan of God, which was accomplished in Jesus Christ. So if we want to understand the wisdom of God, then we need to come to understand who Jesus is and what he has said. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Again, hold your finger in Ephesians or put a marker there. We're going to be coming back. Colossians chapter 2, which has a theme of wisdom all the way through it, wisdom and knowledge. He says this in verse number 3, chapter 2, in whom, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we want to know the wisdom of God, if we want to know the knowledge of God, he says we need to look into Jesus Christ, because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ. But when he says hidden, he doesn't mean unknowable. He means that if you come to know Jesus, then you're going to see those treasures that are hidden from the world, but are revealed in Jesus Christ. Look also with me back in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. He says this was in accordance with the eternal purpose. So there is some aspect in which what Jesus did matches what was in the mind of God from all eternity. So if we believe that one of God's attributes that is eternal is wisdom, then it's going to match up with the plan that he had in eternity. When we start thinking about that, that means the love, the wisdom, the knowledge of God, what he has planned for each and every single one of us in Jesus Christ was in his mind before he even created Adam and Eve. God's wisdom has been hidden in Jesus Christ, continues to be hidden in Jesus Christ, and we come to understand it when we see how Jesus has accomplished this plan. Jesus is the only way to the wisdom of God because Jesus is the only way to God. Now, this is something that we have to preach over in Fiji. This is something we have to preach in America. This is something we have to preach in Europe. Jesus is the only way. Among the Hindus in Fiji, we have to help them to understand you can't just add Jesus to your millions of gods. In America, we have to let people know that there are not many ways to heaven, or that you have your truth and I have my truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That is a very politically incorrect statement to make, and yet it comes from the very mouth of Christ. He says, if you want to go where I am, then you need to believe I am the only way there. Jesus is saying he is the only way to this wisdom. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 21 through 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse number 21, but recognize that what he's talking about is this word of the gospel, this word of the cross, that seems to be foolishness to the world. Now, what's in contrast to foolishness or folly but wisdom? And so he says in verse number 21, for since in the wisdom of God, so this is God's wisdom, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. But what wisdom are they searching for? The wisdom that is of the world. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, look at this, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. He's saying God, in his wisdom, allowed people to try to seek him by their own wisdom, so that they would see the futility of searching for God by their own wisdom, so that they would realize that only through Jesus can you know the wisdom of God and the power of God. If we want to know the wisdom of God, he says, Jesus is the only way. We come to know all-wise God. We come to know his eternal purpose, his wise plan, through Jesus Christ. So the first way we're going to come to know the wisdom of God is through the person of Jesus Christ. Now the second way in which we're going to come to know the wisdom of God, according to Ephesians chapter 3, is to come to know the Word of God. Not only the Son of God, but also the Word of God, the Scripture. So Scripture is another way that we come to know the manifold wisdom of God. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. He says in verse number 8, as Paul says, to me, the least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Now, what mystery is he talking about? He's talking about what was revealed only in part and in portion in the Old Testament. Look with me in verse number 5. Ephesians 3 and verse number 5. He says, which in other generations, that is the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by or in the Spirit. So he says, it was only revealed partially. It was incomplete. It was a mystery. But he says, what had been only partially revealed has now been fully revealed in the preaching of the apostles and prophets. But as we take a step closer, because we are not in the presence of the apostles and prophets anymore, we can't hear the oral word spoken, but we can hear that message. Look with me, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse number 6. Again, talking about wisdom, he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And just as it is written, he appeals to Scripture, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Notice in the context, he's not saying that this passage that is often cross-stitched on pillows and put on paintings, he's not talking necessarily about heaven. He's talking about what had not been revealed, but now has been revealed and spoken by the apostles and prophets. In fact, we're going to come back and read this, but look at the beginning of verse 10. For to us God revealed them. All those things God prepared, he has now revealed them by the Spirit. And so he's saying, these things were not known. They were not yet revealed in the preaching, in the writings of the Old Testament. Look in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. In this word of praise, Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which has been kept secret for long ages past. It had been kept a secret. Yet when Jesus came, and then according to his promise in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, he sent the Spirit. Now with the completion of the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, we now have the plan of God, the wisdom of God, fully revealed. Keep reading with me in Romans 16, verse number 26. But now is manifested, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. Now he's saying, the Scriptures of the prophets bear witness to what? To the gospel that Paul is preaching, to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just a page over, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now read with me again verse number 10. We're going to read through verse 13. For to us God revealed them, that is the things God prepared for those who love him, through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Pause there for just a second. If I were to think of an object right now and asked you to tell me, what am I thinking about? You could not say for certain. You don't know. Only my Spirit knows. How much more with God? How could we know what God is thinking unless he revealed it to us? And he did. He sent the Spirit to reveal his wisdom. Verse number 12. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Notice God is not holding on to this mystery, holding on to his wisdom and saying, I don't want to give it. He's freely giving it. That word is related to the word for gracious. He's graciously giving us his wisdom. And he's doing that through the Spirit of God that was given to the apostles and prophets, Ephesians chapter 3. Now he says, as an apostle, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. What he's saying is, God had thoughts. He revealed them through the Spirit. But the Spirit did not just give them thoughts and say, you run with it and say it however you want. He said, I want you to tell my story exactly as I want it. And so he gave them the very words that they were to speak. I don't know how that all worked out. I don't know how the Spirit inspired these men to speak the very words of God while still using their own personality and vocabulary, but I believe the Scriptures say that they did. And thus we can trust what they spoke. But what's more, we can trust what they wrote. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. You see, they not only spoke the wisdom of God, but they wrote the wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul is speaking as an apostle, as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And he says in verse number 3, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Paul is saying, I received a revelation from God of what this mystery, what his wisdom is. And as I wrote before in brief. So Paul not only spoke it, but he also wrote the words that he received by revelation. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now, we're going to read verse 5 again, but let's pause there for a second. Don't let anyone tell you that only a preacher or a pastor can interpret the words for you. Do not let anyone tell you that you have to get a master's or doctorate's degree in Bible to understand the Scriptures. God has revealed them so that you and I, when we read, we can understand the mystery of Jesus Christ. If you want to know the wisdom of God, He's made it freely available to you. And He's made it freely available to me. When we read, we can understand. They didn't understand previously, but now we can by reading the full revealed Scripture, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in or by the Spirit. When we read, we can understand the mystery of Christ. In first century times, they were only receiving bits and pieces until the full completion of the apostles and prophets' writings were revealed. And I know it's mocked by some, but my interpretation of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that he's not necessarily talking about the perfect being love or the perfect being Jesus. I think what he's saying is you had these partials, the prophecy and the knowledge that was being revealed by the Holy Spirit. And when you finally get all those pieces together, you get the perfect, you get the whole. And so what we have in our hands is the perfect revealed wisdom of God. Now, just as a side point, this is something that I just got done teaching a lot in Fiji, is that means we don't need the tongues, we don't need the prophecies, we don't need the supernatural knowledge anymore because we have everything God wants us to know. We need to teach that same message here. We don't need modern day revelations. We have everything God wants us to know about His wisdom. If we want to know the wisdom of God, He says not only look to Christ, but also look to what He has revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets as revealed in the completed Scripture. That will help us to know God's wisdom. And that brings us to our third and final point this morning. This is the main focus of the text as it relates to the manifold wisdom of God. Again, verse number 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now note here that he is not talking about evangelism. He's not talking about preaching the gospel. Because we don't preach to the authorities and the rulers in the heavenly places. That's not within our venue. We can't do that. But he is saying that by the existence of the church, now everyone, including those in the heavenly places, knows that God's wisdom has been accomplished and revealed. And so by the church, through the church, we now know the manifold wisdom of God. It is helpful for us to step back for just a moment and think about what the church is. You look it up in an English dictionary, and it's probably going to say something like an ecclesiastical organization. Or they might say something like that this is a building for worship. That's what we often talk about. We say we're going to church or we're going to the church building. But that's not what the church is in the New Testament. The church is the assembly, the group of saved people. What is God's wisdom? What is God's plan? It's to save us from our sins. And so what is he creating? He's creating a group of saved people. And when we see the full revelation of God's plan accomplished in Jesus Christ, and we see saved people, that tells us that God's plan has been accomplished, that his wisdom has been revealed. We demonstrate by our existence as saved people the wisdom of God. That doesn't make sense to the world. It's foolishness to the world. But we being saved from our sins and prepared for heaven, that manifests the wisdom of God. Jesus is the way. We learn him through the scriptures, and we become the church so that God's wisdom can be revealed. You see, God has always intended to bring glory to himself through his plan, through Jesus and through the church. Look in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21. We're usually familiar with verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. How does Paul end this prayer? With a word of praise, saying the church glorifies God. And if that does not demonstrate the wisdom of God, I don't know what does. That God has brought sinners who did not deserve to be saved out of this world. He's created them into a saved people who can then glorify him. That shows the wisdom of God. Now this occurs when there is one church that submits to Jesus Christ. Multiple groups teaching different doctrines, wearing man-honoring names, using man-designed worship, following man-made organization does not honor God. The book of Ephesians is all about that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that Jesus is the head of the church, singular, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 4, 4, there is one body. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, he is the head of the church, the savior of the body. See, God planned for one church, Ephesians 3 and verse 10. And then Jesus is the head of one church. Jesus is the savior of one church. And man has messed up God's intention. All the division, all the separation does not demonstrate that Jesus accomplished the plan of God. In fact, let me just give another illustration. Having worked in Fiji for several weeks, when the Muslims and the Hindus look at Christianity and they see all these different beliefs, people worshiping their God in many different ways, calling themselves by many man-honoring names instead of God-honoring names, and not walking together in unity, they say, that's not what I want to be a part of. How could your God and his wisdom create that? Well, the thing is, God's wisdom did not create that. Man's wisdom created that. But if we will appreciate the prayer of Jesus in John 17, we will get back to the Bible, and we will be one just as Jesus and the Father are one. That will, as Jesus said, demonstrate to the world that God sent Jesus. This is why it's so important that we proclaim that restoration plea. Though I am not a Campbellite, I appreciate the idea that has been said. We need to speak where the Bible speaks. Speak as the oracles of God. We need to be united so that we can show this is God's plan come to fruition. When we do that, we show that Jesus is our one head and we are his one body. And we show that he is our Savior and we submit to whatever he says. That can change the world. It did in the first century. There was only one church. And when there were divisions, Paul said, stop dividing. Be of the same mind, same judgment, and speak the same things. And when they could do that, if they did that, it would honor God. It can do the same today. We know the wisdom of God by the church, that we exist as a saved group of people. Putting this all together, The wisdom of God is made known through Christ, through Scripture, through the church. When we submit to Christ and not man, when we follow the Bible and not false teaching, creeds, traditions of men, modern prophecies, when we proclaim one church and be one church and not sectarianism, this will bring glory and honor to God and His wise plan and His wise character. The question I pose to us at the conclusion of our study is, whose wisdom will we follow? The wisdom of God or the wisdom of man? One honors God, one saves us. One dishonors God, one leads us astray. Let's follow the wisdom of God. Let's pray together. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you had a plan to save us through Jesus Christ, that you have revealed that through your Spirit, and that we get to be a part of your family, the one church that we read about in the Bible. Father, we pray that we will be honoring to you, that we will glorify you, that we will live in unity with one another, that we will live as saved and sanctified people, that the world might know that Jesus is Lord and He is the only way to you. Father, we pray your blessings upon this church. We pray that as a local congregation of saved people, that we will do whatever we can to speak as you have spoken and to add nothing and take away nothing from your word. Father, thank you for saving us from our sins. We are so undeserving, and yet we see your wisdom, your plan that we could never understand apart from what you have revealed. Thank you for Jesus and all that he has done for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.